Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio. I'm Dave Custy, your host for Healthcare and Its Future. Today, my guest is Kathy Bryce Hirsch. Kathy is an attorney and former journalist who lives in Towson, Maryland here. She is the president of a privately operated nonprofit foundation, the Frank and Clara Hirsch Foundation. They do business as Within Reach, which develops and operates support programs for cancer patients and survivors. Within Reach partners with the American Cancer Society to operate the Recovery Coach Program, which matches patients facing various types of cancer with trained volunteers who have survived the same diagnosis. Within Reach also operates programs that provide meals to patients undergoing cancer treatment and funds transportation for certain patients to essential oncology appointments. In addition to her foundation work, Ms. Hirsch is the current president of Reach to Recovery International, which is a network of breast cancer support organizations throughout the world. For the past 9 years, she has volunteered for the American Cancer Society at the local, regional, and national levels, serving as a Reach to Recovery volunteer visitor, patient volunteer coordinator, and trainer. She has also served on various American Cancer Society committees that have evaluated and improved the Reach to Recovery program, and she served as a stakeholder on an ACS research grant review committee. Ms. Hirsch is an 11-year survivor of breast cancer. Welcome to Baltimore Internet Radio, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, you want me to start with my breast cancer story?
Let's start with your life.
Okay. Well, I am...
Early on.
Whenever
you want to.
Okay. Why don't I start...
You grew up in Towson?
I grew up in the Towson area, in Lutherville, actually,
right.
I'm in Towson now.
I played Little League in Lutherville.
Did you?
That bond.
Went to Delaney High School, Towsontown Junior High School, which was knocked down recently, and went to University of Maryland. After college, I worked as a journalist for a few years at WBAL-TV and WCBM Radio and CNN in Atlanta. Came back to Baltimore for WCBM Radio and started going to law school at that time at the University of Baltimore. So as I was in law school, I was working at WCBM first and then WBAL for a few years and then left and worked in a law firm. After I graduated from law school, my husband and I moved to Florida for about a year or so. But then we decided to move back. We had our family up here. I had worked 17 years for the Court of Special Appeals as a staff attorney. In 2003, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And at the time, I was 43 years old. I had two kids at home, two daughters, ages 8 and 10 at the time. Continued working through the treatments and stayed at my job as an attorney for several years, 4 years, I think it was. I guess about 2 years after I finished my treatments, I decided to volunteer for Reach to Recovery, which is a one-on-one peer support program for breast cancer patients where they're matched with a survivor who had a similar experience. Mm-hmm. I was getting really involved with that, and I got to a point where my job was interfering with my volunteer work, and I had to figure out a way that I could do everything, you know, earn a living and still reach out to cancer patients, which had become my passion. So my husband and I decided that we would start a nonprofit foundation, and I would be able to work more closely with the American Cancer Society to help develop and promote the Reach to Recovery program in the area, and also work on some other programs that I was passionate about. One was to provide one-on-one peer support to patients with other types of cancer other than breast cancer, because there was a real need for that. There's a lot for breast cancer, and of course, there can always be a lot more, but there are a lot of organizations out there, and there's a lot of former patients and survivors who are very committed to helping.
Right.
I was noticing a bit of a gap, and I talked with my staff partner at the American Cancer Society at that time, Kira Eyring, and she felt the same way. So we submitted a proposal to the American Cancer Society to start a pilot program, which we call the Recovery Coach Program.
And what year was that?
That was 2009. And we started that program. We obviously, the proposal was accepted. We trained our first volunteers in January of 2009. And at this point, we have volunteers who are able to mentor new patients with lung, esophageal, colon, prostate, head and neck cancer, and non-Hodgkin lymphoma. We've expanded from just being a small pilot program in Maryland to covering patients throughout the entire South Atlantic region, which is a region that the ACS has, you know, created for its own internal organization.
Sure.
And it includes roughly from Delaware down to Georgia, not Florida, but and west as far as West Virginia, not Alabama, so Georgia, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we help maybe, we have about 35 volunteers right now, recovery coaches, and we help roughly 50 patients a month. It's mostly by telephone contact. Another program that we have developed through Within Reach is a transportation program, and it's kind of a goofy story, but after watching 50-50, have you ever seen that?
No, I don't think
it's so. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Seth Rogen, and Seth Rogen wrote it about an experience that he and his best friend went through where his friend was diagnosed with cancer in his 20s. It actually turns out to be a funny story with a happy ending, but there is a point in time where the friend is diagnosed with cancer. This is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, and he has to go through chemotherapy, and he has a girlfriend at the time, but she breaks up with him, and there's several scenes of him sitting outside the hospital waiting for someone to pick him up, and then there's scenes with him riding the bus. And I thought, you know, nobody should have to worry about transportation to something as unpleasant as chemo. I mean, it's bad enough without having to worry about whether you're able to get there or not. And I talked to some patient resource navigators in hospitals in the Baltimore area, and they said if they had one wish, it would be to be able to provide more transportation to patients who can't get to the hospital, whether because they can't drive themselves, they can't afford the gas, or whatever. So we set up a fund, an account with two cab companies. One is Yellow Cab, and the other is actually Safe Ride, which is vans, which are especially good for people who are not well or have mobility issues. And we are able to fund rides to people who need it to five hospitals in the Baltimore area. And the requests are submitted by the patient navigators. And similarly, we have a meal program where we fund meal deliveries from either Let's Dish or Movable Feast to patients at those hospitals if the hospitals if the patient navigators request it.
I just did a show with Jen Burdett.
Right.
They were looking for volunteers to drive people, which is great.
Yes.
Addendum to that, really, because you know, to have the cab companies do that, because not only some cancer patients are unable to do this, they don't have anybody to do it too.
That's
some of
exactly
them don't.
Right.
So it's really great. And what really struck me, which was terrific, is that the people that they had as volunteers got to know the cancer patients and became friends.
Yeah.
You know, 100% had a positive reaction to volunteering.
Yeah, that's a really nice ACS program. It's called Road to Recovery.
Right.
And volunteers, you know, drive and you know, with their own car and their own gas money, take people back and forth to hospitals. But as I imagine you heard from Jen, it's hard to get volunteers who are consistently available whenever they need them. And we're trying to fill in the gaps with the CAB program.
That's terrific with the CAB program. Yeah. But I digress a little bit here because I wanted to ask you, how are you now?
I am really well now.
Good.
I'm enjoying my, you know, what I do. My work is so rewarding. And it's opened so many doors for me. And honestly, I've enjoyed every career I've had, but this is just, you know, the icing on the cake. And it's a nice silver lining to having to go through the cancer experience.
All right. Yeah, you've got that frame of reference there.
Yeah.
So tell me just a little bit more detail about Within Reach.
Most of our work is in Maryland, in the Baltimore area, although our recovery coach program reaches throughout the South Atlantic region.
Right, like you just
described. Our transportation
described.
And our meals are just for the Baltimore area.
Right. Because when I looked at your link to your website, it was about an event like last year, 2013. And it looked like that was
that
nationwide.
A conference?
Yeah.
Well, I'm also, this is separate in part from Within Reach, but I have been involved with an organization called Reach to Recovery International for, I think that was since 2007 also. I started up, I was invited to join in 2007 as the North American representative, and then the organization sort of restructured itself, and I became a member of their international advisory committee. But then last year, 2010, I was asked to be the president, and I very, you know, enthusiastically accepted. Now, Reach to Recovery International is an organization that sort of oversees, but not really with, you know, rules or regulations, but brings together organizations throughout the entire world that are involved with breast cancer support or advocacy or education. And, you know, we share best practices and, you know, try to help each other in any way we can. And we have conferences every other year, usually at a different location somewhere in the world. The next one will be in Beijing in September of 2015. The last one was in Cape Town, South Africa. But we attract anywhere from 600 to 1,000 delegates, mostly survivors and patients and caregivers from all over. Mm-hmm. And we learn about each other and how we can help each other. And it's really an amazing thing. We have, you know, connections everywhere. We can, you know, the American Cancer Society has very generously provided me with boxes and boxes of literature to send to a woman I met from Nigeria who needed to educate people about, you know, awareness and early detection. You know, it's just, it just creates a great network that is amazingly helpful.
Tell me then, I'm easily confused, as you can see. Tell me more about how has it evolved since 2009?
Well, when we started the foundation initially, actually that was 2007, and I was really thinking the focus was going to be on breast cancer and, you know, doing the meal programs, mm-hmm. and I had started out with a speaker series, which we presented at the American Cancer Society on a quarterly basis, brought in doctors or other experts in topics that were of interest to breast cancer patients and survivors. It was attended mostly by Reach to Recovery volunteers. But I was finding in talking to representatives at different hospitals in the area that they really needed more help in other areas for other types of cancer. Mm-hmm. And I was also finding out that the transportation was a big issue. So we sort of changed our mission or refocused our mission to include other types of cancer, especially with the Recovery Coach program. None of our programs right now are limited to breast cancer. That's my Reach to Recovery and Reach to Recovery International work that only focuses on breast cancer, but that's not a part of the Within Reach Foundation. Our goal right now is, number one, to make sure that anyone diagnosed with any type of cancer has someone to talk to who has been through it. So we're always trying to recruit new volunteers who have mm-hmm. had different types and survived different types of cancers. Number two, we don't want anyone to not be able to get to treatment. And sure. So we want to make sure that transportation is available. Number three, the meal program, we don't limit that to people who are in financial need. We really ask the hospitals to refer anyone. Of course, financial need can be a factor, but it might be a single mom who maybe has plenty of money, but she doesn't have time or she doesn't feel well and she can't prepare meals, or it could be someone living alone. So we're not limiting that to people who truly are needy. We want to reach out to anybody who could just use a helping hand.
Sure.
I think right now that's what our focus is. We are planning to get back into doing some lunch and learn type events for mm-hmm. our volunteers and for the ACS Reach to Recovery volunteers. And one of the reasons for that is that you may have heard from Jen Burdett that the American Cancer Society has restructured recently, and they're trying to make all of their programs uniform nationwide. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, they're doing their training either by teleconference or online, or online and teleconference nationwide, so that someone who is a Reach to Recovery or a Road to Recovery volunteer in Maryland might be on the same training session as someone in California or anywhere in the country, which is a wonderful thing. And the uniformity is great. Yeah. But what we're finding is that we're missing that personal touch of sure. volunteers getting to know the staff and each other.
Yeah, on a one-to-one basis.
Yes, exactly. So we want to try to bring that back. So we'll probably reinstitute the quarterly lecture series mm-hmm. and get them together for that.
Well, that brings me to my next question. When you mentioned volunteers and that cancer patients themselves, what kind of feedback have you gotten from volunteers? Because I think it must be somewhat therapeutic even for patients to help other people, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to backtrack on that and tell you how I got involved in sure. the Reach to Recovery and this whole process in the first place. I had had my surgery and I was about to start chemo, and I got a call from a volunteer who explained to me that she was a Reach to Recovery volunteer. She was about my age. She had three kids at home, And she was had the same surgery and chemotherapy as me, and she was a 7-year survivor. And to me, that was it. I turned a corner when I talked to this woman.
Terrific.
She was wonderful. And I had good doctors. I was very fortunate to be in Baltimore, where we have such great health care. And I had been very careful about who I selected to be my surgeon and my oncologist and everything else. But until you speak to someone who's actually been in your shoes, you don't know, you know? You're so lonely.
Sure.
It's a very dark place to be.
You need to have the same frame of reference.
Exactly. Here, right? And she was a 7-year survivor at the time. And I, you know, for the first time realized, well, maybe I'm not going to die. Maybe I do get to watch my kids grow up. So it was a great thing. And I really decided then that, you know, if I got through everything, when I was able, I was going to pay it forward by becoming a volunteer like her. And that's what I did. And then in creating the Recovery Coach program so that even more people could be helped by having that kind of peer support, that was my goal. And the feedback I get from the volunteers is the same as that. When you talk to someone and you know you're making a difference, and, you know, even if it's someone who's not doing well and maybe won't ever do well, the fact that someone's there to listen to them, who understands how they feel, is really crucial. Often, the volunteer is the only person that a patient has that they can really talk to, because they're trying to be strong for their family and their friends. They don't want to cry or let people know they're afraid, but they can let the volunteer know that.
And plus, I imagine that they are privy to all the little nuances that happen, you know, that nobody else would know about, you know, so they can understand most everything completely.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, you know, knowing that someone has had the same kind of chemo and they know what the side effects are and they can give you advice on, you know, what you can do to kind of counteract certain things, or to even just encourage you, you know, call your doctor. This is not trivial. Call your doctor.
Sure.
You know, that's what they're there for.
Exactly. How do you see your organization down the road a bit, 3 to 5 years, let's say?
I would like in 3 to 5 years to add a lot more coaches. I'd like to be able to cover a lot more cancer types. So that's always my goal. We're not able to add them as quickly as we'd like, but right now we have 35. I'd like to have double that in 3 to 5 years.
Great.
And we're covering 5 or 6 types of cancer. I'd like it to be 10 or 12.
Do you want to add cab companies and stuff like that? Food,
you know,
places?
I think we're, as far as the number of cab companies and food places that are helping us out, I think we're good. I'd like to be able to provide more rides to give each hospital a bigger budget than they have right now. But, you know, that depends on fundraising. So, you know, hopefully that will continue to grow also.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I think we're good.
Okay, well, why don't you give your contact info and your needs for right now, and then hopefully the people out there will accommodate you.
Well, again, I'm Kathy Hirsch. My phone number at Within Reach is 410-583-5885. Our website is www.withinreachonline.org. And if you want to contact me by email instead of by phone, you can do that through the website. And as far as our needs right now, what more than anything I would like to hear from cancer survivors who would like to volunteer by mentoring new patients. That would be the most helpful thing.
Well, thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
On Baltimore Internet Radio. I've been talking to Kathy Bryce Hirsch. She's the president of the privately operated nonprofit, the Frank and Clara Hirsch Foundation, which develops and operates support programs for cancer patients and survivors. Now, this is an introductory, and I hope that we can update it every so often and just continue this and see how you all doing and maybe help in any way we
can.
That would
be my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.